Mahanta Chakkavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Badanda Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammaha Sambuddhassa Okay, sit properly. Okay, so today, before I start a new talk, giving up or letting go of identity view, I'd like to talk a little bit how to contemplate the pain. Because during the interview, so many people reported pain. Don't know how to overcome the pain. So, in fact, yesterday I would like to talk about it. However, I have not enough time. Okay? So, pain is inevitable. First, you must accept it. Just like old age and death is inevitable. Since you cannot avoid, so you must mentally, you must accept it first. Whenever you come for meditation, there will be pain. Whenever you sit long, the pain will be there all the times. Unless, if you don't want the pain, you should discard this body. Give up this body, then no more pain. Right? As long as you have this body, even the Buddha also experience the physical pain. So mentally, you got to accept it first. When there is body, there is pain. This is the first step you should do. Now, second step, you should recognize the benefit of having pain. Right? First, when you have strong pain or intense pain or excruciating pain, then the mind becomes very focused. When you contemplate on Anapanasati, because the object is very subtle, so the mind easily wander off, go away from this small object. But the pain is excruciating, so intense, so your mind cannot wander off. You have to look at the pain because it's so strong. So this helps you to anchor your mind. This is the benefit. Secondly, because of pain, you develop a lot of endurance, patience, endurance. However, this practice, we want to develop patience, endurance, we want to develop the penetrative insight as well. So how should you look at the pain? There are many different ways. First, I have shared with you, you can contemplate four elements. By looking at the pain, you go into four elements meditation. However, some people still not clear how to practice, how to see four elements inside the pain. So I would like to repeat once more. First, you must understand the four elements first. Earth element, Pathavi Dhatu. Water element, Apo Dhatu. Fire element, Tejo Dhatu, and the last one, wind element, Vayu Dhatu. So, Pathavi Dhatu, earth element, has two clear characteristics. One is hardness. Whenever you think of the great earth, then you feel the characteristic the earth carries, that is hardness. So earth element is not the earth itself. If you think it's the earth itself, this is called conventional truth. But the characteristic, the salient nature it carries is hardness. So when you touch the earth, you feel hardness. You touch a little bit more, you feel roughness. So hardness and roughness is the characteristic, is the two characteristics of earth element. So when you see the pain, I don't like to recommend you to note pain, pain, pain. And this way of noting, to me, it is not so effective. You already know it's pain already. You no need to tell yourself pain, pain, pain. Not necessary, right? You want to penetrate into pain. So you may feel the spot is very hard. Very hard, like stone, especially your cushion. First, when you sit, it's very soft. After 40 minutes, become stone. The cushion becomes so hard. So you feel the hardness that causes discomfort in the body. Then you recognize this earth element. Earth element. Repeat in your mind. Concentrate on the hardness which causes you discomfort. You don't focus on the discomfort itself, but you focus on the earth element. Hardness or earth element. After some times, then you tell earth element is not myself. Earth element is not myself. It's mere element. Only then you can lose your perception of pain. Then when you look at the hardness, earth element, then sometimes it turns to be very hot. The spot is very hot. Then you know it is fire element. So you note fire element. Then after you note sometimes fire element, then tell yourself fire element is mere element. It's not myself. It's not mine. Okay. Then when you look again, then change. The element will change. Then this time the tingling may become stronger or the pressure. Pressure becomes stronger. Then it's wind element. Then you note wind element. Then wind element is mere element. It's not myself. So you look into pain and see which element is more clear. Then you note it. And this element will keep on changing. Then when you see the change of element again and again, you understand this body is not myself and this element is keep on changing. It is impermanent. So by looking at the pain, you gain insight. Isn't that beneficial? Beneficial, right? So don't endure the pain without developing insight. Okay? We are practitioner. We want to gain insight. So then the water element, the characteristic of water element is flowing and cohesion. Cohesion can appear, can manifest as tightness, very tight. That place is so tight because all cohere together. This is called water element. So you should recognize it by telling, by noting water element. And water element is not myself. Keep on telling this place is made up by four elements and all four elements are mere element, not myself. Then the next one, fire element. Fire element is very easy, cold and hot. The spot will become hot. And when it become hot, you recognize it is fire element, again and again, then tell yourself, it's not myself, it's mere element, body is made by element. Then last one, wind element has supporting, when you can sit very straight, because wind supports your body, right? And also pushing in the body is called wind element. Pushing, pressure, distension. Sometimes your body like distended, become bigger than usual. Which is not true because of your concentration. You feel that the body distended. It's called wind element. Nothing to be worried, nothing to be fear of. Whatever happened in the body, you should remember. Never out of four elements. It should be one of the elements is working, is functioning excessively. Therefore, it becomes very strong. So if you have this understanding, whatever happened in the body, it's just a manifestation of four elements, then you, this is your understanding, this is your insight. And you will not be obsessed by fear and worry, because you have the understanding. Okay, understand? Okay, good. So when you keep on seeing the four elements, one after another, you see it's change. You see it's not myself. Then you are developing the insight. So by contemplating on the pain, you developed the insight. This one way, okay? Another way I can give you many ways. You just need to put into practice. Don't let it come into your right ear and go out from the left ear. Okay? If you do like that, then it's a waste. And also waste my energy, because you are not receptive, right? Okay. So, another way to look at the pain. So even you try the four elements, it's still very painful. The pain obsessed your mind. Then you direct look, drill your mind. Drill your mind inside the pain. Then you may ask me how to drill. I only can tell you like that. You got to put into practice, try a few times, then you know how to drill your mind inside the pain. When you drill your mind, put your mind inside the pain, and remember the effort. When you drill in, it's like effort. Effort. Put the effort inside the pain, and the effort must be little bit higher, little bit only, little bit higher than that pain. Very abstract. If the effort is a little bit higher than that pain, the pain will not disturb your mind. But if your pain is above the effort, then you will be defeated. You will be defeated by the pain. So when you drill inside the pain and stay there, the effort must be inside the pain. And if your effort is above a little bit the pain, and you stay there for a long time, gradually you feel very pleasant. No pain, very pleasant. That pleasantness of mind, not the body. The pain is still there, but the mind feels very tranquil and pleasant for a few moments. Why? Why by noting pain you can feel pleasant? What caused that pleasantness of the mind to arise? Please answer. No answer shows that you have not reached this state yet. Simply because of concentration. Because when your mind dwells inside the pain, your mind is so concentrated. And because of that moment of concentration, you feel happiness. You feel pleasant, very pleasant at that moment. So you should be able to note the pain. First painful, then when you gain concentration by noting the pain, it becomes pleasant. Then another one is when you keep on drill your mind into the pain, the effort must be a little bit above the pain. Then when you stay the pain there for a long time, then the pain becomes just a sensation. No more painful feeling. Just a sensation only. Whatever pain arises, you drill your mind inside, it's just one sensation here, another sensation here, another sensation there. It does not occur in your mind, it's painful. Just a sensation. Just like when you are bitten by a mosquito, it's just a sensation there. You don't feel the pain. When you reach this state, you can sit 4 hours, 5 hours, no pain. No more pain. You have breakthrough the pain. Okay? Therefore, you need persistent patience, endurance, and know the skill how to drill the mind inside the pain and the effort above little bit the pain so that you will not be defeated by the pain. I can sit pain, I can look at the pain for 4 hours. People think I go into jhana, but directly look at the pain for 4 hours until it becomes sensation only. So I talk through my own experience, okay? And if still, some people are by nature afraid of physical pain. I think woman has more effort compared with men. Men afraid of pain. Woman has more endurance, patience, and courageous effort to direct to face the pain. Okay. If you feel that no, I don't want to challenge myself too much, then when there's pain, you can try 4 elements meditation, or you can look at your mind. When your mind gets disturbed by pain, then you have listened to contemplation on feeling, right? Yes, right? Because I have too many things to share. If I talk personally, then I have so many important talk left behind. No time to share with you. Therefore, I play my tips so that you can learn as much as possible. Okay? So, my using contemplation on feeling. The pain causes unpleasant feeling. Mental unpleasant feeling. So you shift your attention from pain to the mind. Because the mind gets disturbed already. Look at that unpleasant feeling and see it, unpleasant feeling, just unpleasant feeling. A feeling is just feeling. Feeling is not myself. Unpleasant feeling is just unpleasant feeling. Unpleasant feeling is not myself. Keep on repeating this word like mantra. And if it doesn't work, okay. For somebody, it works immediately, you apply it. For somebody, it works only after few try. For somebody, after repeatedly, 10 times, 20 times, 30 times try only, you see the effect. Therefore, don't give up when one try fail. If you fail in only one time, you say, not effective. Then you are too idealistic, right? If it's so effective, then all of us have gone to Nibbana, right? Just keep on trying and trying because the practice is repeatedly trying. No other shortcut. This is the shortest cut I can give you. The rest, you got to keep on trying, okay? So first time not successful. For somebody, very successful. Because I'm a teacher, the student will report to me, say how effective it is if I use this method. Even a 15 years old say it's so effective. Just that you need to be open-minded and have trust and confidence in this technique, in the teaching of the Buddha. Not your self-confidence, but confidence in the Dharma is most important. Okay, once you have confident, unshakable faith in this way of trying, because Buddha said, feeling is just a feeling. In the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, four foundation of mindfulness, Buddha said, feeling is just a feeling. Feeling is impermanent. Feeling is not self. This is what Buddha said. It's not what I say. Right? So you have confidence in what Buddha said. This is the most important. Faith. So if you fail one time, keep on trying until you succeed. Once you succeed in once you succeed, then you have more confidence. Then you try again and again. Later on, it becomes your habit. So when it becomes your habit, wherever you go, it follows you. This contemplation follows you in your daily life also. Whenever emotion comes, you just note it, contemplate vanishing, then it goes away. You don't have to say that, oh, emotion, anger, please hold on. Let me sit on the cushion first and contemplate you. Not necessary. You must always cultivate it until it becomes the habitual reaction. The good, wholesome, habitual reaction. Then you are a good practitioner. You are a smart practitioner, advanced practitioner. Okay? So contemplate your mental feeling. If fail, mental feeling give rise to anger. Because of the pain, your mind feels very irritating. Then don't look at physical pain, but look at the irritating mind. Mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger. Keep on reciting this word with detached manner. Don't say that mind affected by anger and it's my mind. No. With detached manner. Try to separate yourself with that state of mind. You got to prepare your mind first. So mind affected by anger as mind affected by anger, and detach yourself with that anger state of the mind, then finally you will succeed. Either you will see this mind, irritating mind, pass away, or you will see it's just a mental state, not myself. Really see it. No more reciting it, but really see it. But first, before you can really see it, you recite it first. You recite it is to tune your mind, harmonize your mind with the truth only. Only when you harmonize your mind, your contemplating mind with the truth, then the truth will manifest itself. Okay, understand? Okay, good. Okay, so now this is the way I can share how to contemplate the pain. Now try it. Okay, next. Today, I would like to share with you the new topic, giving up or letting go of identity view. It's an important topic. So first of all, what is identity view? Identity view in Pali we call Sakkaya Ditthi. Sakkaya Ditthi. Sakkaya is a compound word. Sakkaya, Kaya. So Sak means exist. Kaya means body and mind. Rupa kaya, material body. Namma kaya, mental body. So sakkaya means body, mental body, physical body and mental body exist. Okay? Ditthi. Ditthi is wrong view. Wrong view, ditthi means wrong belief that is permanent self. It's called ditthi. So if these two words combine together, it becomes Sakkaya Ditthi, wrongly believe that what exists, which is mental body and physical body, as a permanent self. This is the meaning. So Sakkaya Ditthi, identity view, wrongly identify physical body and mental body as a permanent self. And because of this belief that we cannot become Sotapan. Because of this belief we cannot become stream enterer, the noble one. Therefore, as a practitioner, what we want to do is to let go of this identity view first before we can achieve stream enterer. And from this Sakkaya Ditthi comes another two wrong view. One is Sasata Ditthi, eternalist view. Another one is Ucheta Ditthi, annihilation view. Have you all heard about all this? Sakkaya Ditthi, Ucheta Ditthi, annihilation view, and Sasata Ditthi, eternalist view. Yes or no? As a practitioner, we have to understand all this, especially these three wrong views. Okay, let me talk about a little bit eternalism view. What is Sasata Ditthi, eternalism view. Eternalism view believe, wrongly believe there is a permanent soul which transmigrate from one existence to another existence. And that transmigrate from one existence to another existence is the same self. Same consciousness, same self transmigrate from one existence to another existence. This is called eternalism view. So first of all, the transmigrating soul. In the teaching of the Buddha, there is no soul. No? But in Asian country, most people believe in soul. Right? When I die, my soul transmigrate to another existence. Most Asian people believe in eternalism view. In fact, during Buddha's time, not to speak us, so far away from the teaching of the Buddha, 2600 already. So gradually we have the wrong view. The wrong view of eternalism is understandable. But during Buddha's time, although they are so close to the Buddha, they still, some bhikkhus, some monks still have this type of view. For example, Bhikkhu Sati. From Majjhima Nikaya 38, Mahatanha Sankhaya Sutta. Mahatanha Sankhaya Sutta. The great discourse on the destruction of craving. There's one bhikkhu called Sati. He is a fisherman's son. So one day, he said that, as I understand the Dharma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirth, not another. This exactly eternalism view. It's the same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirth. I think most of us have this type of view. So you can say, my future life, my past life. You think the future and your past is the same person. Most people think in this way. This is called eternalist. Okay. So when this monk tell that it's the same consciousness that go through the samsara, then the other monk say, no, Buddha never say like that. Buddha say, in many ways, the Blessed One stated consciousness to be dependently arisen. Since without a condition, there is no origination of consciousness. So how can you say the same consciousness wander in the samsara? Everything arise depend on cause and effect, cannot be permanent. If you say the same consciousness, it means that it is permanent. Is a self which you can control. Therefore, the other monk said that no, your statement is wrong. You have the pernicious view. But Bhikkhu Sati cannot be convinced. He very stubborn and wrongly grasps the Dharma and think it's the same consciousness wander through the samsara. And the compassionate fellow monks, since they cannot convince him, they got to report it to the Buddha. Not because they want to ta xiao bao gao, not because they want to, not because of backbiting, out of compassion for this misguided bhikkhu. Otherwise, this wrong belief will lead him for a long, long suffering to come. So they reported to Buddha, and Buddha said, okay, call him, come. So Sati come, Then Buddha said, did you say that it's the same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirth, not another? In front of Buddha, no one can tell lies. So Sati, Bhikkhu said, yes. Then the Buddha asked him a very important question. Sati, what is that consciousness? Since you say the same consciousness, they wander through the samsara. Okay, tell me, what is that consciousness? And the Bhikkhu Sati said, Venerable Sir, it is death which speaks. We also speaks. Do you identify, when you speak, do you identify that is consciousness? You don't have to give me answer, okay? And Sati also say that it is that which feels painful, feels unpleasant, feels pleasant, feels neither pleasant nor unpleasant. So do you identify that feeling as consciousness? Okay. Then, is that which experiences here and there the result of good and bad actions? So in short, let me repeat. Venerable Sir, is that which speaks and feels and experiences here and there the result of good and bad action? I identify that speaks is same consciousness, that feels is also same consciousness, that experience the good and bad result is also the same consciousness. That is his answer. And the Buddha say, misguided man, to whom have you ever known me to teach the Dhamma in that way? Misguided man, have I not stated in many ways consciousness to be dependently arisen, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness? But you, misguided man, have misrepresented us by your wrong grasp and injured yourself and store up much demerit, for this will lead to your harm and suffering for a long, long time. From Buddha's answer, you should be convinced that right view is very important. As a Buddhist practitioner, the first thing you should do, although it's dana, but to me, as a practitioner, the first thing you should establish in your heart is right view. Samadhi. The noble eightfold path, the factor of noble eightfold path is right view. Right? If your view is straight, right, then the follower seven factors of the path also will be right and straight. Therefore, I am a monastic who promote the teaching of the Buddha. I concern very much the right view of the followers. I not emphasize so much on dana. You see, my teaching never talk about dana. My duty, my responsibility to come to this world is to share the correct view of Buddha to the followers. Therefore, in my talk, I emphasize lots of right view. Okay, so please remember, all consciousness, there's never the same consciousness. Everything, all consciousness is arising and passing away dependent on causes. So what arises and passes away dependent on causes, we cannot say it's the same thing. We cannot say it's a permanent thing. We cannot say it's a self. A permanent self and so on. Therefore, to say there's a permanent self, permanent consciousness is exactly wrong view. Then Buddha further said, all this consciousness arises, passes away, dependent on cause and condition. Then he teaches the dependent origination. Okay, so in order to understand, to remove your eternalist view, you should understand cause and effect or dependent origination. Okay, that much enough for today. Tomorrow I will continue again. This is a very profound topic. Now you need time to digest it. So I cannot go very fast.